We're continuing with Rav Chalap about the holiness and purity of the Kohanim. So Rav Chalap says we have two concepts. We have Tahara, purity. We have Kedusha, holiness. We discussed earlier the idea of Tahara being something constant and being something separate from the physical world. There is a higher concept, and that is where one can take the physical and make it spiritual, take the body and make it into a soul, and that's the concept of Kedusha, holiness. We have Tahara, purity, where one is separate from the physical, one is spiritual, and then we have Kedusha, which is taking the physical and making it spiritual, making it holy. The Kohanim are the aspect of Tahara. The Kohanim have a soul which is a purer soul. And that's why Kohanim should not come in contact with the dead. Their soul is different than our soul. An Israelite can go, can deal. They bury people. A Kohen is told, leave the dead. Let other people bury them, unless it's a close relative.
Or if you're alone on the road.
Right. Death actually is the representation of transgression. If there weren't transgression, there wouldn't be death. Death is where the body suddenly says, okay, it's time to decompose. The soul's going to leave. Why is there death? Because there's transgression. The Kohen is supposed to be above that. He's not supposed to connect to that great representation of transgression called death. It says, Al kol nafshot met lo yavo. The Kohen doesn't go to the deceased. If there's a funeral, he stays outside. His close relative, he has a mitzvah to come close to. The Talmud tells us in Tractate Zevachim, there was a Kohen named Yosef. Yosef a Kohen. His wife passed away. Pesach was coming. He didn't want to go deal. He said, everyone's dealing. It's fine. They'll bury her. Why do I have to get tummy? So his brothers, the Kohanim, pushed him. They said, you go, become tummy to your wife. That's part of what you're over. It's your mitzvah. The Torah says, you have to deal with your wife. He said, I won't be able to bring the paschal offering. They said, that's your mitzvah, go.
Pesach
What?
Pesach sheni.
Okay.
So what?
This is a concept that Rav Chalap develops in a few places. He says, when the Torah made it into a mitzvah, so then his becoming tummy is not taking a step down. The general rule for a Kohen is, the Torah said, that's your mitzvah. That's my mitzvah. I'm not taking a step down by doing it. I'll remind you what we learned a few weeks ago, where Rav Chalap wrote about the mitzvah of a chai bahem. So Rav Chalap said, what's this similar to? There's a man who was given a treasure to watch. And he was watching over it, and they told him, you should know it's irreplaceable. Guard it with your life. And then something happened beyond his control, and the treasure was lost. It wasn't his fault. He was on the ship. He was doing everything he should have done, and the ship got shipwrecked, and the treasure sank in the sea, and he could barely save his own life. And they come to him, and they say, what's with the treasure? And he says, it's sunk. And they say, couldn't you save it? And he says, no, I couldn't save it. I almost got killed myself. So what did they tell him? You know what? It's not your fault. You're 100% right. You did what was right. It's not your fault. But treasure's gone. You lost it. We can't help you. It's not your fault, but I can't help you. Right? That's what you tell a person under such a circumstance. Rav Chalap said, we might have thought that mitzvahs are like that. A mitzvah is very precious. I should never give it up. The Torah says you have to save your life, so that comes before a mitzvah. So you might think, okay, I lost this precious mitzvah. I had no choice. It's like the guy who lost the treasure to save his life. He did what was right, but he lost the mitzvah. Came the Torah and said, no, I'm giving you a mitzvah to save your life. V'chai b'hem. So you got the treasure. You didn't lose the treasure. By the Torah making it a mitzvah, the Torah made it that you didn't lose anything by saving your life at the expense of the mitzvah. So that's the same concept Rav Chalap is saying here. When the Kohen goes, takes care of his wife, when the Kohen becomes tameh for his relatives, it's not that he lost, but he has no choice. The Torah says he didn't lose anything. That's what you're supposed to do. But that's the aspect of tahara, the purity that the Kohanim have because of their elevated stature. But then there's kedusha, where one is supposed to take the physical and uplift it to be spiritual. The body becomes soul. In order for that to happen, they need all of Am Yisrael. They can't do that alone. That's the commandment in the Torah, V'kidashto. Am Yisrael makes the Kohen holy. He's your representative for bringing the sacrifices before Hashem. Kadosh Yelach, make the Kohen holy. Ki kadosh ani Hashem kadishchem, because I, Hashem, who makes you holy, I am holy. So in order for the Kohen to attain the level of Kedusha, that level where he can take the physical and make it holy, he's going to take a sacrifice and slaughter it, and suddenly this animal became something holy. You're limited how you eat it, who can eat it, what you can eat from it. It goes on the altar. What happened there? You took something that's very physical, you suddenly made it very holy. It's more holy than a cucumber. Why? Ah, he can impart holiness. He can take the physical, make it spiritual. How? The kiddushto. It's only in his connection to Am Yisrael. Tahara, that purity, the Kohen has because he's a Kohen, because he's a descendant of Aaron. Kedusha, that ability to make things holy, to make the mundane holy, that's through Am Yisrael. Well, we have the concept of Kedusha. Hashem says, V'nikdashti betoch b'nei Yisrael. I become holy through Am Yisrael. From that pasuk we learn, there's a mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem. Can we go on a tangent for a minute just to explain what we're learning here? We speak about the word holiness. What is holiness?
Separated.
Oh. So.
Doesn't mean special, it just means separated.
Person is told, bow to the idol or we'll kill you. Torah says, mitzvah kiddush Hashem, don't bow to the idol. What's the big deal? I just did this. I did this as I was learning. It's okay. No problem. I did this in front of an idol. Finished. Wait a second. What did I do? Just for this little movement, I'm supposed to give up my life. Why? So,
even if you don't believe in it, even if you know that it's completely nonsense.
That's a good question. Right? Still can't do it? So, we have a halacha. Person is sitting there, he's about to do something prohibited, says, I'm not doing it. Hashem said, no. No one saw. It's all alone. He's in the room, he's sitting in front of the internet, he's about to click on something, he says, no, I'm not supposed to do that. God doesn't want me to do it, I'm not doing it. Says the Rambam, he just did that amazing mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem. I understand when I'm in front of a crowd and they tell me, I want you to my office on Shabbos, and I say, I'm sorry, my name's Jared Kushner, I can't do that. I keep Shabbat. I'm not coming to your office on Shabbat. That's a Kiddush Hashem. Why, when I'm sitting in the privacy of my own room and I choose not to do it, is it a Kiddush Hashem? So this goes back to what Ben said before. The concept Kadosh means it's separate. Means it's not like everything else. When a person says, you pay me enough, I'll drive on Shabbos. When a person says, not a big deal, I'll just bow to that idol. What's he saying? Nothing's a big deal. Nothing's special. There's nothing worth giving up my life for because nothing matters. When a person says, of course it matters. Their Ribono Shel Olam told me I can't do that. My whole life is the values. I can't bow to that idol. I don't mean it. I know you don't mean it. But I can't do it. Avraham Avinu says, I'm not going to bow. They tell him, we're going to kill you. He says, okay, you kill me, you kill me. There's nothing I can do. I'm not going to bow. He's willing to do it because my life is not worth anything if I'm not going to do it. But Avraham Avinu, you have a lot to accomplish in your life. There are a lot of people you got to teach monotheism to. You're going to give up your life for that. Yeah, that's my life. There's something different. Not everything is equal. Hashem is one, and I can't go against him, and it's wrong to go against him. If I have to give up my life, that's what I'm going to do because he's different. He's not like everything else. When a person says, you pay me enough, I'll do it. Right? That's the businessman comes and says, I need you to drive me. And the Jew says, it's Shabbos. And the businessman says, I'll pay you $100. And he says, but it's Shabbos. And he says, what about $2 million? And the Jew starts thinking. So the businessman says, so what are you talking to me about Shabbos? Everyone has their prize. But if the Jew says, I don't care if it's $2 million. I'm sorry, I'm not driving. It's Shabbos. Goodbye. Leave me alone. Nothing to talk about. I don't drive on Shabbos. What's he saying? He's saying, this is different. That's the concept of Kadosh. When a person's sitting in front of the computer and he says, I'm not going to click on that because Hashem said no. No one knows if he did it or didn't do it. Kiddush Hashem. Coming back to our concept of Kedusha. Kedusha, again, is I'm taking the physical and I'm going to make it spiritual. Yes.
I don't always necessarily mean that you actually...
Slowly.
Does bowing to an idol always necessarily mean that you're actually bowing to an idol physically?
It just means worshipping.
Can you like also like, is there a way of saying you're worshipping something else in a different way?
It's a good question. Let's discuss it later.
Someone can idolize bowing saying it's important.
No. The Midianites, for example, they used to do weird things in front of an idol. It wasn't necessarily bowing down. It was just different ways of expressing your...
Let's give it the attention it requires, but let's do it focused. Right now, let's finish this, and then remind me, we'll come back to that. So if a Jew is commanded to transgress, and they tell him, we just want you to transgress to show that Torah doesn't matter. Suddenly the Jew has to stand up for every mitzvah. If the Romans capture a Jew and they say, now we just want you to turn on this candle on Shabbos. Why do you want me to turn on the candle on Shabbos? We want you to show that Torah doesn't matter. He has to give up his life rather than light that candle. But wait a second. Where does it say you have to give up your life rather than light the candle? Ah, this becomes part of the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem. We know we have three mitzvot that are so weighty. Gidui Arayot, right? Illicit relationship. Adultery or illicit relationships. Avodah Zarah. And Shfichut Damim, murder. There he has to give up his life rather than transgress. Not only there. Not only there. Also, if their whole intent is transgress, show that Torah doesn't matter. And that's called Kiddush Shem Shemaim. We would think, what do you mean it's Kiddush Shem Shemaim? If the non-Jew kills the Jew, that's Kiddush Shem Shemaim. Isn't that a Chilul Hashem? Aren't we desecrating Hashem's name when the Jew dies?
No, because he couldn't kill the Word of God.
With regard to the non-Jew who killed the Jew, he did a Chilul Hashem. For sure. That's true. But when the Jew says, I'm willing to give up my life and not transgress, so then he's saying, that's Kedusha. And... says Rav Chalap, when a Jew dies al Kiddush Hashem, his body became a neshama. He says, remember we discussed, we live a life where we're always choosing between the physical and the spiritual. When the Jew says, I'm willing to give up everything physical, he says, I'm willing to give up my life for the sake of heaven. What he's just done is made his physical life spiritual. His body became spiritual. That's what Rav Chalap said. The word Kedusha is taking the physical, making it spiritual. Remember, he said Tara is a separation from the physical. Kedusha is you took the physical, you made it holy. When a person says, I'm willing to give up my life, what's he saying? My physical life is not worth more than my spiritual. The spiritual is what's important. I'm willing to give up the physical. Ah, now you just made the physical spiritual. Yes.
What Kiddush Hashem is, let's say we have a non-religious Jew who doesn't keep any mitzvot, and let's say Nazi put a gun on his head and say you should spit on Torah as v'shalom, or do your business or something like that on Torah, and he right or die then do it. My question is now, what happens with his soul? Does he go direct because of Kiddush Hashem? Because he died for Kiddush Hashem, does his soul go right away to Olam Haba, or Plus you have to wait and to be judged.
There are some souls that go straight to Ramadan. They don't go through those 11 months of spiritual cleansing.
For the soul. Let's say he was never Shomer Shabbat, he was Hilul Mehele Shabbat all the time, but once he died. I heard that he dies in the Holocaust.
Requires a lesson in itself.
Somebody kills and kills a Jew. Yeah. Because he's Jewish, he goes to
that. I heard this totally happened. That's why I'm asking. This guy was.
It's a long discussion.
But isn't it? If somebody kills somebody because he's Jewish, like. He goes directly, like even that he.
Okay.
That's how I understand.
Okay, let's continue.
I'm not sure. Okay,
I'm saying it's a little bit more complex than just yes or no.
But this teacher is saying the body is also considered like the spirit. It won't decompose then, basically.
That I don't know.
Yeah, it will. It's the body needs to be respected. Is that what it means? It needs to be buried properly, respected.
He's saying that what that person did was he just took his physical life and made it spiritual.
So to that man, you honor
we,
him?
We definitely honor him, for sure. But that's, he's saying, that's the concept of Kiddush Hashem. Why is it that his dying is called Kiddush Hashem? Isn't it a desecration of Hashem's name when he's dying? He says, it's definitely the guy, the person who killed him, did a Chilul Hashem. But the Jew did the greatest Kiddush Hashem.
What does it matter that my body, I'm not here anymore. Like, my soul isn't in the body. The body is just going to decompose and become nothing. Who cares if it's holy or not holy? It's a piece of carcass. Separate class.
Yeah, you guys are taking me into a lot of different concepts. The soul is not completely separate from the body when a person dies. It's not completely
accurate.
That's why
we have to be buried here.
There is still a connection. As we see that sometimes the souls visit their graves. Meaning the soul is connected to the body after a person dies.
Is that why we need to bring the graves from other countries back here?
It's one of the reasons.
So a Kohen that's buried in America, that's not good. Very bad.
It would be better if you were buried here, right? Everyone, not only a Kohen. After Hashem says, V'nikdashti b'toch b'nei Yisrael, I will be holy within 10 people of Israel, Hashem says, I'm Hashem who takes you out of Egypt to be your God. I am Hashem. What's the connection to Yitziat Mitzrayim? Yitziat Mitzrayim was the paving of the path to uplift nature. Hashem says, there's nature. Yeah, it doesn't have to be. The Pasuk says, Betzet Yisrael mi Mitzrayim. It was when we left Mitzrayim. Then I tell you, da le kodsho. So long as we were in Mitzrayim, so then in heaven an angel can say, what's the difference between a Jew and a non-Jew? They're all worshipping idols. That's in Mitzrayim. We left Mitzrayim, suddenly the people of Israel, the Yehudim, are a holy people. They're different. Yitziat Mitzrayim took us from one extreme to the other extreme. And what happens then is that our souls and our bodies shoot up and get elevated, and suddenly all of life becomes different. Whereas in Egypt, the focus was constantly on the body. They could barely pray. The only thing they could make heard is a wail. They couldn't even talk to Hashem, right? Vaye anhu, Amisa sighs. Their prayer is just a cry. They can't talk to their bon shom. They cross the Yamsuf, and suddenly they're so verbose. They have this whole long song, Az Yashir. They're so good at praising and talking. And what happened? They've elevated. They've gone from one extreme to the other extreme. Suddenly, all of life looks different. Suddenly, what's important in life looks different. And that's what it says in the end of the parasha with Yamim Tovim, that Am Yisrael is called Mikra Kodesh, the people who can designate holiness. What are we doing? It's a weekday. What are you doing? Go to any non-Jewish country. And they look at the Jews and they say, why don't you work on this day? It's Rosh Hashanah. Why don't you work on this day? It's Yom Kippur. Why don't you work on that day? It's Sukkot. What do you mean it's Sukkot? It's Tuesday. No, it's Sukkot. On my calendar it says Tuesday. Right? And on my calendar it says Sukkot. But it's Tuesday. Yeah, but we take these days and we make them holy. It's not like Shabbos, which Hashem made holy from the beginning of time. Every 6 days you hit the seventh Shabbos. No. The Yom Tovim, suddenly we make the times holy. And then you have Shabbos. Our sages say, he who desecrates the holidays, so then we consider it as though he desecrated Shabbos. He who honors the holidays, it's as though he kept Shabbat. I can understand that when a person desecrates the holidays, it's as though he desecrated Shabbos. Because a person says, I keep Shabbos, I just don't keep Yom Tov. On Yom Tov, I go to work. Shabbos, I'm careful. So then we say, it's as though he desecrated the Shabbatot also. And then his Shabbos doesn't count. But what does it mean if I fulfill the holidays, it's as though I kept Shabbos? The guy goes to work every Shabbos. But on Rosh Hashanah, he stays home. On Yom Kippur, he stays home. On Sukkot, he stays home. Says the Gemara, it's as though he kept Shabbos. Why? How does that work? If he keeps Shabbos, then okay, he kept Shabbos. No, he didn't keep Shabbos, then what does it help him that he kept the holidays? What does that mean? Anyways, what's the connection between Shabbos and the holidays?
So
Rav Chalap explains, our sages tell us that if a non-Jew keeps Shabbos, he should get the death penalty. Only Am Yisrael, who can make a weekday into holiness, can connect to the holiness of Shabbos.
That's why the convert has to turn on a light or something.
Each one will ask their rabbi. So when a person desecrates the holidays, he can't have the right Shabbos. Because Shabbos is about making a day holy. Hashem makes it holy, we have to make it holy. We make Kiddush, we also have to make it holy. When a person keeps the holidays, so then Shabbat has its holiness from the time Hashem designated it. And when a person says, I connect to this idea that we can make weekdays holy, so the Gemara says, you should know that in Hashem says, I'm going to consider that as though you kept the Shabbatot. I didn't understand the lines I just read. I read the words, I explained them, and I don't understand what I read. I'll be honest with you. We'll move on. I don't know. I don't understand the logic. I don't understand why this would be so. So I read it, tried to explain it. I don't understand it. We're moving on.
It doesn't have like notes anyway.
Maybe. I don't know. Maybe he expects me to be smarter. I don't know. When we keep the holidays, so then the holidays become on the level of Shabbos. We can sanctify the Yom Tov, even though technically it's a Tuesday. We make it into Yom Tov. Suddenly Yom Tov becomes like Shabbos. The Sadducees, when the Torah says, start counting the morning after Shabbos, they say, that's only Shabbos. We say, no. When we make it Yom Tov, that's also like Shabbos. So when the Torah says start counting the morning after Shabbos, from our perspective, we make the Shabbos, so, the Yom Tov, so holy, Yom Tov could also be called Shabbos. The Torah reveals to us the greatness of Israel, that we can take a weekday and make it like Shabbos. Hashem says, when you make a holiday, and I think we've all sensed that, you walk into Shavuos, you don't feel it's Tuesday. On the contrary, you walk out of Shavuos and you ask yourself, is it Sunday today? Then you say, oh no, it's Thursday today. And then your whole week is mixed up. It's not only a psychological thing. Rav Chalap says it's a spiritual thing. Part of what we're doing on a holiday is we're able to elevate the weekday into a day like Shabbos. The connection between Yom Tov and Shabbos. Oh, we're up to the final paragraphs. We have the holy bread, Lechem HaPanim. And Hashem says about the holy bread, Ki Kodesh Kodoshim Hu Lo Meishei Hashem Chokolam. The bread is the holy of holies. Why is it the holy of holies? Says Rav Chalap, if Am Yisrael can make a weekday into holiness, but nonetheless, it's about time. We're this day of the month, right? We take a set time and we make it holy. Lechem apanim, the holy bread, the bread that was in the holy, was something else. What Hashem was revealing to us there is that time doesn't matter. They would set the bread on Shabbat, take it off the next Shabbat, and the Pasuk says in the end of Shmuel, or in the middle of Shmuel, that Lechem Cham Biyomi Lakecho. The bread was just as hot as though it was freshly baked the day you took it off. Why is the Lechem Apanim called the Holy of Holies? Because the Lechem Apanim teaches us another level in holiness. We know holiness of Shabbat, seventh day from the time of creation, every 7 days. We know holy days of Yamim Tovim, where we designate this 24 hours are holy. It's Shavuot. We do that, but it's a set time. Comes the Torah and says, let me show you a holiness that's holier than all that. It's holiness that's above time. You make the holy bread, you put it in the holy, in the Kodesh, and now you'll take it off 7 days later. It'll be just as hot as though you just baked it. And it doesn't rot. How do you do that? Ah, that's a different holiness. That's holiness that's above time. At the end of the parasha, at the end of Parshat Emor, it says, there was a Jew whose mother was an Israelite. His father was an Egyptian. And he went out and blasphemed. Our sages say he made fun of the bread. Where was he coming from? He was making fun of the holy bread. What was he trying to do? He said, there's nothing special about being a Jew, and there's no difference between you and me and anyone else. So he says, there's nothing unique here. So he comes to the Lechem HaPanim, and
how'd he get in there?
He speaks about the Lechem HaPanim, and he says, pretty funny. God is giving his holy Kohanim old bread, 9 day old bread. I wouldn't want to eat that bread. This is what the Kohanim get to eat. What was he saying? We speak about the bread as something that's, you have Shabbos, and then Yom Tov, and then the holy bread, which we just explained is the Holy of Holies. It's above the time. So that bread becomes the Holy of Holies. This kid comes in, this young man comes in and says, nothing unique about us. Nothing unique about the Jewish people. Nothing unique about the bread. It's just old bread. So guy starts fighting with him. What we discover is that as they're fighting, this man starts blaspheming. The man starts cursing all the camps of Israel. And then he blasphemes towards heaven. Why? Because when a person is willing to take the first step and say, there's nothing unique about the Jewish people, they will take the next step of speaking badly about or cursing the Jewish people, and finally blaspheming towards heaven. And that's why Hashem tells us, he tells Moshe, Otzetam Kalel, and tell the Jewish people that if someone blasphemes, they get the death penalty. And then the Torah says, if a person hits another man, he can also get the death penalty. Why are these two connected?
What type of hit?
Kills another man. If he kills another man, he gets a death penalty. Why does the Torah juxtapose these two commandments? Blaspheming and killing another man.
It's like they killed...
Torah's telling us the connection. Look at this man who blasphemed, cursed the Jewish people, made fun of the bread. It all starts when he says there's nothing special about us. And then he's willing to curse the Jewish people, fight another Jew, a physical brawl, which ultimately leads him to blaspheming. So Hashem says, you should know, if he blasphemes, my honor, he gets a death penalty. If he kills a fellow Jew, your honor, he also gets the death penalty. Recognize that we're connected. I am separate and holy, you're separate and holy, and he who chooses not to recognize your holiness ultimately won't recognize my holiness. They go hand in hand.